Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Touch someone, say, yes, Lord. How many of you know that's always the right response? You say, well, I don't know what the question was. You don't need to know the question. You just need to say, look, yes, Lord. Because how many of you know His way is always the best way? Yeah. Yes, Lord. Doesn't matter what the question is. Yes, Lord. You know, this song is so true. I just wish people would believe it. We would like to just... I'm telling you, do you guys remember when in The Passion of the Christ, do you remember that movie? Golly, I think I cried the whole way through it. They're laughing on the screen and I'm crying. I mean, it's just like, it was so powerful. There was one moment in the movie that was really, really, really super creepy though. Do you remember when the character that we can assume was Satan was carrying that baby? You remember that? And ladies that are holding babies right now, I am not talking about you all. This does not apply to you, so don't go there. But I think in the spirit, we coddle demons. I think, like, you know, the spirit of drama gets on people and they coddle fear. The woe is me spirit, the feel sorry for me. Kind of, I feel sorry for myself kind of deal. And I'm telling you, that is the exact opposite of faith. In other words, it flies in the face of this song. If you could put that words, love never fails. Just love never fails. See, there's a lot of us in this room that we feel like that God has failed us. We don't say that because that wouldn't be very spiritual. But we really do believe that God has failed us. Like, God, where are you at? God, what are you up to? I don't hear you. What if this happens to me? We have all these questions. And there's great fear in our lives. In some of us, there's great fear because there's been great disappointment, and you haven't resolved the disappointment with finding out what God was up to. And so what I'm here to do is confront that very thing right now. You guys know me. You know I don't get up here and say I see demons here, here, and here. I don't do that. But I've seen some this morning here in this room. And there's been a grip on some of you. And you can't move in faith because you're holding this thing. Because why? Because that's all you know or feel to do. But I'm telling you, now listen to me. I'm not talking about people holding natural children. You protect them with everything that's on the inside of you. But I'm telling you, I see people holding demons, and you're holding on to fear. You're holding on to unbelief because as long as you hold on to this, I don't have to trust God again and be disappointed again. You hear me? And so that's why you hold on to that thing. But I'm telling you right now, God is a healing God. Do you hear me? God is a healing God. You need to let go of that thing. You need to throw that thing on the ground. Our road needs to be paved with the skid marks of demons under our feet. Are we not to trample all darkness and put them underneath the feet of our Lord? Now, we're His bride and we're one with Him. That means our feet too, right? I'm just telling you, there are things that need to be thrown to the ground. Look, stop fearing COVID. Stop. I didn't say stop being wise, but sometimes we call fear, we call it by another name. We use the word wisdom when actually we're just operating in fear and we want to camouflage fear. We don't want to say we're in fear, so we call it wisdom. Well, I'm just being wise. Listen, you know what being wise is? Asking the Lord what to do and doing that. If that means wearing a mask, wear a mask. If it means not wearing a mask, don't wear a mask. If it means getting a shot, get a shot. If it means not getting a shot, don't get a shot. Whatever the Lord shows you to do, do that and do it with faith. trusting God. Are you with me? God wants to heal this morning. He wants to set free this morning. He wants to deliver this morning. But I'm telling you, we've got to throw some of those things down to the ground. Are you with me? I want you to look at me. Some of you, some need to throw the political spirit to the ground. Some need to throw the religious spirit to the ground. You hear what I'm saying? Because it's stopping you from leaning into God and saying, God, what do you have to say about this? Are you with me? God, what do you have to say? That's some of the most powerful words you could ever have in your arsenal of spiritual warfare. God, what do you have to say? What is your intention? All right? Some of you are in fear in your financial situation. Some of you are in fear in your marriage. And I'm not just speaking to those in this room. A lot of you in this room, you're the choir I'm preaching to. Are you with me? You're the warriors. You've been fighting this fight for a long time, and I'm so proud of you. And for those who haven't been able to fight that fight, we don't condemn them. We don't cast you down. We want to cast the demons off of you so you can rise up and become who you're supposed to be. So let's just do that right now. There's addiction. Oh, come on. There's a spirit of addiction. If you have something that controls your life other than the Spirit of God, whether it's food, whether it's tobacco, whether it's pornography, whether it's gossip, whether it's drama, whether it's working, whatever it is, listen, addiction can cause a good thing to become a bad thing because it controls your life. Are you with me? And so listen, anything that's controlling our life right now just needs to be cast to the ground. Are you with me? And so just pause right now. Just close your eyes and ask Holy Spirit to shine His light on your life. Just illuminate your life right now and identify. Just say this with me. Holy Spirit, identify anything in my life. Yet, see, I see several locked doors that you have the key on a necklace around your neck that you just haven't allowed the Lord to go in that room of your house, of your life. And look, just take that key off and hand it to Holy Spirit. Say, here, you can have entrance into my room right now. That one. The enemy would tell you there's so much fear in there and so much pain in there that you're not going to be able to survive that door being opened up. And I'm telling you, the only way you will survive and become who God wants you to be is to open up the room of that door. The door of that room. So just give it to him right now. Because this is the absolute truth. Talk about a prophetic sign. Look at this. Jen just handed this to me. This is the necklace she was wearing. And I didn't see this. It's a necklace with a key on it. See, the problem is when you wear a necklace like this, where is that key? It's next to your heart. You protect the key that opens up doors that God couldn't get into. And God wants you to take that key and give it to Him. So just pause for just another moment. I know I've just talked about a lot of stuff. Let's boil it all down. Close your eyes right now. Yeah. Just pause. Just close your eyes. Say, Lord, show me the room in my house that I haven't opened to you. Show me the key. Show me where I've been hiding the key to that room. Maybe it isn't in your heart. Maybe it's in your head. Maybe it's in your intellect. Maybe it's that if you can't reason through something, then it can't be. Well, God, that isn't how God operates. He knows far more than we know. Sometimes we have to enter into something. Oftentimes the experience of the Lord precedes our understanding of something. The encounter with God will go before our ability to understand it. It's after the encounter that we then understand what God desires to do. So just ask the Lord, where's the key? And give it to Holy Spirit. And let Him open up the room of your life. And I'm telling you, I just see the Lord taking out of that room demonic presence, putting it in your hands, and saying, now throw it to the ground. He's taking addiction out of that room, putting it in your hands, and saying, now throw it to the ground. I will not throw it to the ground for you. I will not do that for you. I see some people, it's intellectual elitism that places your intellect above what the Lord shows you. I see the Lord taking that spirit out of that room and handing it to you, and you saying, Lord, I'm willing to be obedient to you even when I don't understand. And that becoming pavement. I'm telling you, this is going to give you traction in life. Demons are sticky. Come on, you know that, right? I'm telling you, when they're paving the road of your life, it gives you traction to move forward in what God wants. Young people, listen to me. Maybe it's certain games. You have an addiction to games. Now listen, that has to be Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about enjoying something. I'm talking about being addicted to it. Maybe you're addicted to your phone. You can't even go a whole church service without looking at your phone. Come on, somebody. Somebody was just looking at their phone right now. He saw me. Yeah. Now just whatever you throw into the ground, I want you to just lift your foot up and just press it into the ground. Don't leave that thing kicking and screaming on the ground. End it. End its life. That's just a spiritual suggestion, a spiritual symbology of what's going on. That's naturally what's going on in the spirit. Because the truth is, what supports all this is this song. Love never fails. You say, well, I'm afraid. I've tried that before. Listen to me. Love never fails. Now, you don't understand how much listen to me. Love never fails. Everything you need is in love. Love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. Tongues, they will cease. Prophecy will fail. We'll get it wrong now and then, but love never fails. Love never fails. Say that. Love never fails. God, you'll never fail me with your love. No. Listen, some of you don't believe that yet, and you need to speak to your own spirit. You need to say, love never fails. Yeah. You never fail me with your love, God. No. We're not there yet. Someone needs to become assertive in the way that you say this. You need to look within yourself and speak to your own heart and say, disappointment, I speak to you, that love never fails. Yeah. Fear, I speak to you. Love covers a multitude of offenses. Love covers all fear, and love never fails. I speak to you in Jesus' name. Addiction, I speak to you in Jesus' name. Love never fails. Oh, you just got weak on me right now. Addiction, I speak to you. Love never fails. sing that over yourself.
All things work together for my good.
Come on, sing that again with me. Say,
all things work together for my good.
Sing it in the atmosphere around you.
All things work together for my good.
Addiction, we say this to you.
All things work together for my good.
Pornography, I speak to you in Jesus' name.
All things work together for my
finances, I speak to you in Jesus' name.
All things work together for my good. All things work together for my good.
One more time, say,
all things work together for my good.
Just stop right there. Let that atmosphere rest on you. Let the atmosphere of the kingdom shift the way you think. Let it shift how you behave. Let it sink deep into the marrow of your bones, deep into your spirit. I speak over this moment as the authority over this house, the authority given to me by my elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare addiction, we identify you, and we declare that love never fails, that all things work together. Even when I have a hunger for something I shouldn't have a hunger for, I'm not going to submit to that hunger. And the longer I do not submit to that hunger, the longer that hunger no longer has power over me. But now in Jesus' name, I don't care how many times you've been up to this altar before, but if you've got addiction on you right now and you believe that God needs to remove it from you, get up to this altar. Don't wait for another second. Move quickly. If you have pornography that is on your life, get out of your seat and come down here quickly. If you are afraid in your finances, get down here quickly. If you have fear over your relationship right now with your spouse, get down here quickly. Get your hands up to God. I speak to you, spirits of addiction, in Jesus' name. I speak to you, spirit of pornography, in Jesus' name. There are some men that got to get up out of their seats, and you got to come down here now. I'm telling you, that thing has been ministering to you, and it doesn't matter which thing it is. Just move quickly. If you allow your embarrassment to keep you away from the deliverance of God, that's on you. Yep. In Jesus' name, all things, Lord, all things. In Jesus' name, I break off every unclean thing from this man. In Jesus' name, the spirit of depression, the spirit of doubt and disappointment, I break off of you in Jesus' name. I break it off in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's one of them kind of days. Look at someone and say, well. All right. I haven't done this for a while. And so I think, oh, wait, maybe I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Somebody loan me $5. I don't have any cash in my wallet. Somebody give me $5. Yeah. You're not getting it back, just so you know. Okay. So it's not really a loan. So you missed the blessing, bro. All right. Yeah, people often do walk awfully slow to bring up their offerings, so I'm just saying. No, it's good. All right, so look, here's $5 here, okay? And if I said to you, now I'm not saying it yet, but if I said to you, hey, listen, I want to get this to whoever wants it, and the first person here to grab it, it's yours. Now, I really am going to say that, so get ready. Whoever wants it, it's yours. Okay. Now listen, you say, okay, well, he knew what was coming, and he's being selfish. No, it's not being selfish. He knew there was a blessing available because he's heard me do this before. See, my wife doesn't let me do this when I carry $100 bills in my wallet, because I pulled out $100 bills before and done that, and she's like, could you, like, do it after? Yeah, anyway, here's my point. My point is that I have a limited supply, but my Father in heaven has an unlimited supply. And he's holding out for you a blessing, and he's already started to release it today. And the problem is, so come here, Josh. Let me see that again. So thank you for the offering, son. That was good. But seriously, so you take this, and you stick it in your pocket, and you know, I got $5. I got $5. Look at me. I got $5. Come on, sing with me. I got $5. No. All right, stop. No, it's not working. Okay. Anyway, in my mind, it actually sounded much better than that. But the point is that, I got $5, and I keep it in my pocket. You know, and I go into the store. I got $5. I got $5. $2.98. I don't have enough money to buy that. You put it back. You got $5. Oh, wait, I can spend this? That's what it's for. The blessing of God is not just so you can get blessed and feel good and fall down on the ground. Who cares if you fall down, get up? What I want to know is, are you changed when you get up? You hear what I'm saying? When I lay hands on someone, it's not to put on a show. I want to see the power of God move in them. I don't care if there's warm fuzzies or not. I like warm fuzzies. Like, I like when, you know, when you feel the power of God and so on. But that's not the point. The point is that change takes place. The point is that you walk into the store and you walk out with that bag of cookies. You use the $5 for what you were supposed to use it for. Are you with me? Because how many of you know cookies can be anointed by God? Amen? Amen. All right. Here, son. No. Oh, look at you. Landon, you're learning. Good job. Look, he's even got shin guards on. Wow, this could get serious up here. Well, hey, I just got to brag on some of the kids. I want you guys to know, those of you that play sports, and I'll just focus on that right now, but I'm very proud of you. I've heard, Landon, how you just work really hard at playing soccer. Man, and I love when men and women of God walk in excellence. Are you with me? You know, a lot of the little kids back there were playing. We went and saw a soccer game yesterday, and I just love watching people of God excel. I love when in music, Sarah's taken up trap shooting and going to be in the trap shooting. I'm so excited about that. Have you started practicing yet? Have you? Do you like it? Yeah? Nice. I'm really excited. I love when people of God walk in excellence. Are you with me? All right, I have like no time left. So Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Okay. We were talking at our staff meeting. And Jessica Stewart, my assistant, said, you know, I just think there are a lot of people have a lot of questions, a lot of what ifs. What if I get COVID? I mean, I'm believing God that I don't, but what if I do? What if I lose my job? What if a loved one dies? You know, and what I saw was that those questions are not wrong to ask. As a matter of fact, if the question is in your mind, it is important for it to be there. It is not a lack of faith for you to ask those questions. It is a lack of faith if you don't resolve those questions. God doesn't want those questions just to be there. He wants you to resolve them. He wants to be the resolution of those questions. And so I just want to talk for a couple minutes about how important it is for you to have those questions, because it's something your soul is wondering, something your soul is thinking about. And the fear of the unknown is the absolute worst fear. It is by far the worst fear you can have, the unknown, because it's unknown. And what it does, it gives the enemy a right to play in your mind the worst possible scenario because it is unknown, right? I mean, if I would die, what would my family do? Well, the truth of the matter is that's not a question I have in my mind. If I did, I would need to resolve it. You say, well, how do you resolve it? Let's talk about that in just a minute. But I just want to introduce a couple concepts. See, you say, but Pastor, like you've said that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. How many know that to be true? How many believe that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear? Well, that's doctrine. That's not just dogmatic. That is doctrinal. The Word of God emphatically states that God does not give us a spirit of fear. So, Pastor, are you saying that when I'm in fear, I'm in sin? That's not from God? No. Feeling fear is different than walking in fear. Okay? In the same way that feeling the heat of a fire is different than walking in the fire. One, you feel the heat. The other, you get burned. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Let me say that again. Feeling fear and walking in fear or being in fear are two different things. It's like a fire. Big fire. How many like campfires? How many ever got burnt from a campfire? Yeah. I'll never forget one of my worst traumas with a campfire was actually with Cheryl Lida. We were little kids. Her family and my family went camping. And you know, as kids, you're always doing something you're not supposed to do, but you don't know what it is you weren't supposed to do because you never did it before. So you do all kinds of things and test the waters of what you can do and can't do. Many of those things your parents say, hey, stop doing that. But there's a lot of things they don't see you do that you shouldn't be doing that you go ahead and do because you don't know you're not supposed to do them. Does that make any sense to anyone? It does? Okay, thank you. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I was taking stones and I was throwing them in the fire. I didn't know you weren't supposed to throw rocks in the fire. But I don't know if you know what happens oftentimes when you throw rocks in a fire. But there's moisture in rocks. And so what happens is the rock sits there in the fire and begins to heat up, and the water turns to steam, and it acts like a bomb, and it explodes. Well, one of the rocks exploded, and actually, Cheryl, I believe it was you, Cheryl, that got burned. Do you remember that? Yeah. Did you forgive me from doing that? Just now. So look, the problem was that, look, I was feeling the warmth of the fire, right? She actually got damaged by the fire. There's a difference between the two. Feeling fear is meant, it is actually God sent for you to be alerted that there is something dangerous there. Feeling the heat from a fire tells us, hey, don't put your hand in the fire. The problem is when you embrace the fire, when you take those hot red coals and you bring them into your heart, you're going to get burnt. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We're not to take that fear and make it part of us. We're not to walk in that. We're to know that there's something there that needs to be dealt with correctly and handled correctly, right? Does that make sense? And see, one of the ways we deal with fear is we walk in courage. But listen, courage is not the absence of danger. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to walk correctly when fear is present. Are you with me? David said this. He said, I fear, but then he said, I will not fear. What does that mean? It means I feel fear, but I'm not jumping in the campfire of fear. I'm not going to jump in there because that's what the enemy wants me to do, because in there is my destruction. See, the reason God doesn't want you to walk in fear is you can't walk in fear and faith at the same time. They are polar opposites. One is trusting and believing God. The other is trusting and believing what darkness wants for your life. That's what fear is. Fear is believing. And listen, it's what you believe is very powerful. We're created by God as creatures of faith. Faith is something that is, it is binding. It is whatever. So over here is believing, is having faith, believing what God intends to do. Over here is believing what darkness intends to do. And this is like, you're going to weigh in on one or the other. It's like on a balance beam. You're either going to come over here, and whatever you add yourself to tips the scales, and you get. So if I want to walk in fear, I get on this side, and the balance beam tips to this side, and I get that. If I come over here and believe what God says, I get this. That's how fear works. That's how faith works. Fear is nothing more than negative faith. It's believing really the opposite of what God intends. Are you with me? Now I say that. You say okay. See our default, because we've lived in a fallen world for so long, our default is to throw in with fear because that's the most believable thing, because that's what all the natural realm is telling you is going to happen. You get around someone with sickness, right? You're going to do what? Get sick, right? I mean, you know, if someone, look, they had laws about this stuff. Israel had almost whole books of the Bible devoted to those principles that you walk in so you don't get sick, like leprosy. I mean, there's chapters and chapters written about what to do about leprosy. That's called the law, right? Devoted to that stuff. So look, with leprosy, you didn't go around leprosy. As a matter of fact, when lepers came near you, they had to shout out, whoa, I have COVID. I mean, leprosy. Are you with me? And don't come near me. And so there were whole chapters written about, and if someone has leprosy in their home, you needed to scrape the walls of their home. If they sat on a bed and they had leprosy, you had to burn the bed, you know, all that kind of stuff. That was the law. But it's interesting how that all changed with Jesus. How many of you know Jesus? His law is higher than the law of sin and death. He walks in the law of spirit of life. His scale is very different. And so over here he's saying, say, look, step over here with me and we'll tip the scales this way, but it's up to you to choose which way you will believe. And so what Jesus said is, okay, so here's what I do. Yeah, I know what the law said, but I'm the fulfillment of the law. And so I go above the law because I'm not bound by the law. The law was written for a time when people rejected God. I am the fulfillment of God, and I stand here, and you can have the fulfillment of God, and you can walk above the law of sin and death into the law of the spirit of life. And so what you can do is you can join with me in agreeing with me. So now, Joshua, come here. So Joshua... We'll pretend that Joshua is a leper. He's really not, but let's say that he is. And what did Jesus do when he go over there? Okay, stop. All right, good. So when Jesus saw a leper, what did he do? Oh my goodness, it's a leper! Run for your lives! Get a test. I gotta be tested. Okay, if you didn't like me yet, you probably don't like me now. It's okay, all right, it's okay. If you're listening, I'm just having a little fun, okay? Look, we've cried more than enough tears. It's time to laugh a little bit. But so what do I do? What do I do if he's a leper? And the law says I run the other direction. If I'm operating under a religious spirit, I run the other direction. If I'm operating in a political spirit, I run the other direction. But Jesus walked by neither one. He walked by Holy Spirit, and what did he do? He went toward the leper, and he touched the leper, and the leper was healed. He took his health and placed it on the leper, and the leper became healed. See, that's the kingdom of God in operation. We walk by the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is with us. And the atmosphere that we walk in overshadows the kingdom of this earth. It's what God said to do. Jesus preached this. John the Baptist preached this. Peter preached this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And let's walk in it and increase it on the earth. Are you with me? All right, good. You can be seated. He did good, okay? All right, so how do we tip the scales over this way? What do we do? It's very simple. And again, very powerful words. Let me give you some scripture. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 4:10 says, "Now Jabez," remember the book of Jabez? We all read, little booklet, great book. If you haven't read it, read it. It's good stuff. "Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me.'" Everyone say, "Bless me." Now, what happens when you get blessed? It says, "And enlarge my border, and that your right, your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." So now listen, Jabez understood something. He understood if God was going to bless him, his border would enlarge, but he also asked that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Why is he saying that? Because God knows that you have stuff that's in front of you that can cause you harm if you are not walking with him. And so here's the real easy answer, the resolution to what ifs. What if I get COVID? Here's how I resolve that. God, what if I get COVID? And God said to me, "You're not going to get COVID. You, son, are walking with the cure." This is what he said to me. He may say something completely different to you. But this is what he said to me. "You're walking with the kingdom of God on the inside of you." There were three times I thought COVID was getting on me. I'm telling you, I could feel it. I could feel the symptoms. And I went and I got in front of the Lord. I said, "Lord, you said I wouldn't get COVID." He said, "That's right." I said, "But it's getting on me." He said, "That's right." He said, "Just because I said something is going to take place a certain way doesn't mean that darkness isn't going to try to put that on you if you allow it." And I said, "What do I do?" And I'm telling you, I laid down before the Lord. I was at a church down in Lafayette, Louisiana. This is when it all first breaking out. And it was breaking out in the South big time. And we decided to go on with the conference. And the Lord had me lay down during worship, right? Like everybody's up praising God. "Oh, God, you're so awesome," and all that. Here I am lying on the floor. "Oh, God, I feel sick. What do I do?" And I'm telling you, I just saw Jesus walk up to me. And I saw him take like a needle. And it was like, this is just how I saw it. There were these molecules of COVID, and he went pop, 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 pop. And I stood up, and I was perfectly fine. I don't quite understand all that, but God isn't real concerned about my understanding when he wants to encounter me. Are you with me? Our understanding will follow later, and he explained a lot of things later. But look, I had to choose. It's easy to choose fear. You just do what's natural. And we fear. And we get that. It's a little more difficult because it requires me to trust in something I cannot see. But when I do, when I ask God, "God, what do you intend?" And he says to me, "I intend for you not to get COVID." I said, "God, what happens if I get sick?" He said, "Listen to me. My intention is for you not to get COVID." The next question is, okay, what do I do? He said, "You have to trust me even when you feel like you may be getting COVID." I said, "Okay, well, that happened." And I trusted him, and guess what? I didn't get COVID, right? And then I said to the Lord, so I asked the Lord what he intended. What do I do? And then I asked him, "Is there anything else I need to do?" And he said, "Nope, nothing else. That's it." And guess what? Now that question in my mind, anytime that question comes up, well, I feel like, what if I'm getting COVID? I already have the solutions to that. Lord, my marriage, it's shaky right now. What if I get divorced? And the Lord responds to you, this is what I want to do. This is what I intend. This is your part. Well, Lord, what else do I need to do? You need to trust me even if they don't do their part. Ask the question until the resolution comes. Lord, what do you intend? What is my part? Do I have any other part? And if you have any question in your mind, ask the Lord. Do you see a continuing pattern here? Say, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. And people say, well, I don't hear God like you hear God. Okay, well, we can fix that. Because Jesus said, and I believe him a lot more than I believe you. He said, my sheep know my voice. He said that. That's his words, not mine. My sheep know my voice. So you say, but I don't hear Jesus. Okay, are you of his flock? Yes. Okay, I believe you. That's between you and him. Are you following close behind? Because just because you're of a flock doesn't mean you're not straying off somewhere. You say, well, I didn't mean to. Guys, this isn't about... Darkness condemns people. We don't live in the spirit of condemnation. We live in the spirit of life. We live in the spirit of that God loves us, and he's all about fixing us and dealing with issues that we have. Are you with me? What if? What if? What if? God is a safe place. Everyone say safe place.
Safe place.
God is a safe place. So I think we're going to pause here. And the second part that I'm going to talk about for being a safe place, we're going to save till maybe, am I preaching next week? Yeah, I'm preaching next week, not the week after. Okay. So I'm going to save for next week. You may want to come around for that. Because God wants to show you how to create a safe place in your world. Are you with me? How many would like to know how to create a safe place that you would... Well, let me ask this, and just stand up with me as we close. We're going to leave. And how many of you have, in the last year, you have felt at one time or another, and maybe still feel it, but you have felt unsafe? Let me see your hands. Wave them at me. Yeah. Guys, I'm not being trite about asking God. Listen, I have to live this. I went up to New York a couple weeks ago, and I'm telling you, I confronted darkness up there that was ugly. It was nasty stuff. Listen, I had to ask God some what ifs. I was in India about 7-8 years ago. Listen, if you don't believe demons are real, just ask the Lord if demons are real and to show them to you. Trust me, you'll get more than what you need. Don't ask that unless you really question whether demons are real, because you will see them. And oftentimes they manifest in people around you. But I was in India, and I had preached, and hundreds of people gave their lives to Jesus. And we saw the most amazing miracles. We saw people healed of the wildest things. Legs grow out. Deaf ears opened up. We saw a guy come in, and he wasn't dead. They rolled him up in a carpet, and they brought him in, and they dropped him on the ground. We didn't know what was in the carpet. Dropped this thing of carpet on the ground while we were preaching, and it fell on the ground like a chunk of cordwood. Went clunk, and we thought there was like a wood pole or something on the inside. He unrolled the carpet, and there's a guy on the inside. And he is hard as a board. And we thought it was rigor mortis. We thought he was dead. We thought, ooh, this is going to test some faith. And someone thought enough to feel for a pulse. And there was a pulse. So we knew he wasn't dead. And so we said, Lord, what is it? He said, it's demonic. You got to understand, in India, there's all kind of crazy false gods and all that kind of stuff, right? And so we saw him delivered. We saw him set free. He looked like he was dead. The next day he comes back and he brings his friends who were drug dealers. And they came and they got free and they gave their lives to Jesus. It was beautiful. But listen, this stuff's real. But I remember going back to my hotel room a couple nights later and being so sick. I mean, I was so sick. We had ministered, and in India, you don't just minister at the conference. You minister, you go to all the pastors' houses that came and attended the conference afterward, and you minister to them and their families, and you're praying for people till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're just dead tired. One night, I couldn't go do that. I could barely get through the conference, and I said, listen, take me back to the hotel. Oh, Pastor, we can't. It would be dishonoring to these other pastors. I said, listen to me. I'm sick. I've got to go back. One of the pastors said, well, couldn't you just come to one house? I said, I feel really bad, but I'm sorry. So I went back to the hotel room that night. I felt like I was going to die. I wasn't sure I was going to make it through that night. And all kind of demonic presence were in that room. And I'm telling you, to the place where I couldn't move for about an hour and a half. I couldn't even say the name of Jesus. And the thought occurred to me that my family was going to be without a father and a husband. I said, Lord, what if I die? He said, if you died, I would take care of your wife and children. But you're not going to die. It's now time for you to call on the name of Jesus. And I could just barely get out of my mouth. I just said, Jesus. And I'm telling you, a light came into that room. And I can't even tell you all the spiritual occurrences that were happening in that room. Angels flooding in that place. The light of God coming in. And I'm telling you, that fast, just boom, it was done. But ask God, what if? Ask him. Don't just try to reason it in your mind. Ask him. Get the answer from the one who knows, not the one who supposes. And listen, don't just go to your friend. Don't just go to your pastor. Ask God, what if? Lord, I would ask that you take this beautiful people and give them the ability to remember to ask the question, what if? Lift your hands up to God. And just say this to God, Lord, would you give me the ability to remember to ask when I don't know and these questions are circulating in my mind, that I would ask, what if? And wait on you for the answer. In Jesus' mighty name, and resolve the question so that darkness has no ability to have a playground in my mind. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of God said, amen, amen. Someone give God a hand clap right now.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.